This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. A big power hour coming up here. Of course, the King of Connecticut, Will Hill, is going to join the program here a little bit later on, get his thoughts, some of his best bets that he has. We'll give out our best bets before this show is done and break down college football as we get ready. Week zero, Jensen, right around the corner, is going to go overseas for TCU in North Carolina. Break that game down a little bit later on as well. But let's get back to some Major League Baseball talk here, because there are some key series that you're keeping your eye on that are beginning today. We're getting to that point of the season, Jensen. Obviously, as we always say, the games matter at the beginning of the year is the same as they do at the end. But boy, they get critical down the stretch here. What are some of the series that you're keeping your eye on as they begin here anew on a Monday?
Yeah, again, a lot of playoff implications, especially in the American League wild card race, but also in the National League, and two teams head-to-head that will obviously have a lot to say about that. Tigers and Pirates beginning tonight at PNC Park. Good one on the mound here in favor of Detroit. Framber Valdez going to be a short road favorite right now. -$1.10 on DraftKings, $1.17 upwards of that price on Circa. Carmen Majinski going to be the opener here for the Pirates, and then we'll see what they do after that. Remember, they pushed Paul Skeens back until Wednesday of this week. Still trying to get Skeens right here, and obviously they'll need him if they're going to get to that postseason. Mention the Diamondbacks and the Red Sox. Again, that's Mitch Bratt. They're going to have an opener, Alec Gamboa, and then it looks like Brian Bello is going to be the bulk reliever there tonight for Boston. But Red Sox -$1.40 on DraftKings as a favorite, but I do like the Diamondback side. I got +$1.35 on Novig, Dave, for that road underdog spot. Diamondbacks, as I mentioned, have been red hot. They have absolutely answered the bell for Torey Lovello, and now just kind of a mismatch. Red Sox leaking a little bit of oil after that really magical run. Let's see if we can strike while the iron is hot in that series opener. Couple other ones, and one that, Dave, crazy to say it, this late in the year, we have a first place Chicago White Sox team taking on a non-first place Chicago Cub team. Who would have said that at the beginning of the year? But here we are, and the Cubs took it on the chin big time from the St. Louis Cardinals over the weekend. White Sox riding high after a series sweep in Motown against the Tigers. This is a 2.5-unit play on the under in Chicago, in Wrigley Field tonight. Total is 8 on DraftKings. I got an 8.5 on Novig at -$1.20. Why do we like the under here? Well, you have Shota Imanaga, who rarely is one of those guys that has the back-to-back starts where you can't get a little bounce back. Looking at where some of the numbers are here, when you're looking at the Cubs being a home favorite to the total, they are a team that has been a little bit better to the over at 27-22, but this is a matchup now looking at Luis Castillo coming in, getting the start here for the White Sox. He has been sensational since he's come over, and I like that momentum to continue tonight. If I look at Shota Imanaga, and I realize that the home run ball has been an issue for him. The last start, not the best, where he gave up 3, but that was in Washington. Let's see if he can get it right, because at home here, Dave, in his last 4-5 starts, 1 run allowed against the Dodger offense, 2 runs allowed in 6 2/3 against the Yankees, no runs allowed in 7 innings against the Minnesota Twins. Those are his last 3 home starts there at Wrigley Field. I think we get a tightly contested game tonight. So under 8.5, 2.5 unit play there at -$1.20 for the battle of the Windy City between the White Sox and the Cubs tonight.
Let me ask you one question about the first one that you're keeping your eye on with the battle in Buccos here against the Tigers. And I'm looking at Pittsburgh now, 4 games under .500. They're 6.5 back now in a crowded wild card race here in the National League. All of a sudden, the Cardinals won't go away. By the way, they're 3.5 games back. I mentioned the Fish, they're 3 back in Arizona. The Snakes just a game back. Paul Skeens being backed up, as you alluded to. Dare I say, I don't want to say it's a disappointment, but I actually do kind of feel like it might be a disappointment at this point if the Pirates don't make the postseason with the additions they made in the offseason. Where are you in the Buccos? Is that too far out, Jensen, at this juncture, 6.5 back, to really make a run here?
If you're going to buy, you might want to buy now, because here are your next three series: home against Detroit, in LA against the Dodgers, in San Diego against the Padres. And here are the pitching matchups that they are going up against as far as they're out. Now, they are still the number three scoring offense, Dave, in all of baseball. They'll take on Framber Valdez tonight, Cater Montero tomorrow, who's been sensational. And then Jackson Jobe, just off the injured list, the fireballing right-handed youngster there for Detroit. Then they get on the bird and they head west. Yoshi Yamamoto, Tarek Skubal, Blake Snell in the Dodgers series. Robbie Ray, Michael King, and then perhaps Joe Musgrove coming off the IL for the San Diego Padres. That's your West Coast swing, but that is the overall look at the potential and projected starters that the Pirates are going to be up against. Hey, this is what you play for. You want to find out how good you are? You're going to learn quite quickly here. And hey, 6.5 out of the wild card, yeah, but at least you're going to get the head-to-head matchups. You'll get San Diego, who you're trying to run down. Is it too far out? There's still a plus 30 in run diff. There's still a high-scoring offense. And if they get it right with Skeens and company, you can run off a lot of wins quickly here. But boy, that road is incredibly difficult. So, okay, catch 22 here. Would you rather buy the price now for a little bit, knowing how high it is? You could. And I'm seeing what, 18-1 to make the postseason right now.
Right.
Okay. If they're going to make it, they'd probably be the last team in. So I would play the 30-1 to be the sixth seed. I play the exacta. If they're going to run it down, Dave, you would think they would just slip their way in. 30-1, I think, to be the number six seed would be the way I would go.
Context: when I got the Blue Jays a couple weeks ago at 13-1, it was about the same type deficit, and it was a daunting. I knew that the schedule was daunting for the Blue Jays. So, Jensen, I'm with you. If you want to take that number six seed here at the 30-1, a little pizza money there, you can't. To me, they can't be indifferent in this tough sled, in this tough stretch that they have. Because if they are, I think they're going to find themselves too far out to make that ultimate run, unless they just catch a Red Sox-like fire streak here in September. That's asking a little bit too much. So to me, it has to be now. And if it's not now, it's not going to happen. That's kind of the way I looked at it with the Blue Jays. And they did. They got through and are still getting through that really tough part of their schedule. Is still obviously you have Tampa Bay and then the Yankees again. And then it gets a lot lighter. Same thing for the Buccos here. But if they can somehow maneuver and hold their water in that tough stretch, Jensen, all of a sudden that price point's going to look a lot better if you have 30-1 in pocket. We mentioned the Dodgers taking on the lowly Rockies here, Jensen. You've got a ticket already, I believe, in pocket here for tonight. Offenses concerning you here, at least on one side?
Oh, God. Okay, so rarely do we take an under in Coors Field, but tonight it might match up perfectly. Just again, we mentioned earlier in the show for people just joining us, the Dodger offense has been beleaguered here in the month of August. I'll reiterate, when you look at where this club is as a team, scoring runs has been so difficult. Now, I get it. You just came off a series, four games against the Milwaukee Brewers, one of the best pitching staffs in the entire league. But the Dodgers, 50 runs, Dave, in the month of August. Only the Rangers, Giants, Mariners, Yankees, and Angels have scored fewer runs. Now, this is traditionally a place they can get right, but you're also looking in the flip side here of where the Rockies have been. And now the Rockies just put up 13-plus against San Francisco in the series finale yesterday in San Francisco. Problem here for the Rockies is they get Blake Snell tonight, and Blake Snell traditionally been pretty solid, even with the big breaking ball in the Mile High City. So we're going to play an under 11.5, a little juiced here, minus $1.42 for 2.5 units. Total has already come down to 11 in some spots, but Dave, this is a play on how bad the Dodger offense has been. And this is also the ability for Blake Snell to limit a Rocky offense that he's usually had his way with in the last couple of years. If you want to just go by trends and where the numbers are overall, as a road favorite, Dodgers are 31-28-1 to the under. So a little bit shaded to the under that way. And obviously as a home underdog, which Colorado usually is, They're actually right even at 27, 27, and 3 as far as where their total is. So under 11.5, 2.5 units for the Dodgers and Rockies there at Coors Field tonight.
You know, it's so interesting. We got a great email about this. And again, buythebooks@vsin.com. Please reach out to us. We appreciate everybody that does. Remember, it was last week, Jensen, about maybe some of your futures tickets versus if you look at a play like today with the Metropolitans and the Padres, you kind of get that confliction there of like, man, I've got this ticket on the Padres to make the postseason, but yet this run the Mets are on all of a sudden, Jensen, you know, it would take a Red Soxian type run to actually be playing meaningful baseball here at the end of September. What do you make of these red-hot Metropolitans? And they're actually favored today against the Padres with Nolan McClain on the bump.
Yeah, well, that's why, is because Nolan McClain is pitching today. Otherwise, now this is a straight fade, even though your Mets are showing the resiliency that they are. Interesting, at 56% of bets, 53% of money right now on the Mets is that short home favorite. No real feel on it right now, and I'll wait to see some lineups later on. But you can't deny what the Padres offense has done here, and especially against premium pitching, which they just saw over the weekend in Cleveland. You would think they're feeling ultra confident about where they are. Padres and Phillies tied for the final two wildcard spots entering play tonight. Diamondbacks just a game behind them. Marlins 3 out right there, and then the Cardinals at 3.5. That's probably the demarcation line right now, Dave. As I told you, the Pirates, that schedule, oof. Oh, man, that is tough sledding. Detroit, Dodgers, Padres, your next three series. Hang with them. We'll see if they're for real or not.
I hope I don't have to sweat out this Pirates season win total. I didn't think we'd have to be sweating it out, but that schedule is daunting if things go south there for the boys in the Berg. Okay, when we come back, let's get to college football, Jensen. Start looking ahead to week zero and beyond. That's all straight ahead right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Monday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. We do have breaking news, Jensen. You and I already have gotten a sneak peek of the draft order. Steve Cohen has done, and by the way, Steve wants everybody to know that he's done this over the provision of himself and his dog. So this is on the up and up, people. We're gonna break that out for the audience to see the draft order, Jensen. We'll do that at the end of this show, but this is exciting for our Thursday day draft.
We're looking forward to it. We will announce those upcoming. I don't think it's, you know, I can't remember what the agency organization that tallies all of the Oscar right. votes. What is the accounting firm? Is it PricewaterhouseCoopers or something that tallies all the votes there?
Yes.
To make sure that there is no ballot stuffing or anything of that order. So again, big news. Stay tuned. We will reveal the official draft order upcoming in Best Bets later in the show.
Count all legal votes. We believe this is all on the up and up with Steve and his dog. So we are excited to bring that to you a little bit later on. Okay, let's get to some college football week zero and beyond. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
This is the Daily Gridiron.
You know, Jensen, something you and I like to do and try to do is be anticipatory of where these lines are going to move, right? So for reference, the Cowboy line sitting at 2.5 right now against the Giants, I believe that'll hit 3, if not higher, by the time we get there in about 3 weeks here for that Sunday night game. Week zero with North Carolina and TCU, it was not long ago here on the big board behind me, Circus Sports here in Franklin, Kentucky, that it was Carolina was getting 6.5 against TCU. And we talked about it on the program that, hey, if you like the Horned Frog, you better get it at 6.5 because this probably is going to go up. It has gone up not just to 7, Jensen, but up to 7.5, total sitting at 47.5. It's been a tumultuous offseason, to say the least, here for North Carolina. No idea what it's going to look like here in week 0. But this is, again, something you and I were trying to be early, Johnny, in the spot here to get you the best number if you liked that particular side.
I don't like the North Carolina side, so that's okay. What I did actually like was the total. And a potentially an underplay here. If you can find a 48 out there somewhere, that'd be great. The 47.5, probably a little added sweat on that one. Listen, you've got year two of Belichick and company. You get a new OC and Bobby Petrino. This is a team that's kind of been a dumpster fire in year one. Can they clean it up here for year two? Well, you get Sonny Dykes and crew there in Ireland, who have had, what, back-to-back 9-win season, if I remember correctly. Get a new quarterback up there for the Horned Frogs, but a strong offensive line, some good returning pieces. I feel the spread is accurate, although I don't know if I want 7 in the hook at this point. I think more so I would lean on ball control for TCU. I am not confident in North Carolina's offense whatsoever. This feels like a controlled win for TCU. I'm going to go in like the 20-14 final score. So that would be a Carolina cover, but a TCU win. More importantly, that'd be a number. That's where I would go. Haven't bet it yet. But this was right, I think, when it opened in the mid, was it 49.5? Might have been 49 or 49.5. So it has come down a little bit. No shock to public on TCU here, but I do think if there is any side to take, the under. I would stay away from the side. I would take the under if I was going to bet this one.
And again, you know, we're not trying to dump on our friends over there in Dublin, but sometimes you have to look at the field conditions too in these games. Typically, sometimes they don't look great. You got to take a look at the weather over there, see what that's going to be like. Because if it's a muddied field, we'll see the conditions as we get closer to that game here. It could lend itself to that underplay, and maybe that's also a reason why those numbers have come down here. Pretty dramatically here, at least a couple points now to the under. And again, TC, very significant move through 7, now up to 7.5. So hopefully, again, if you're on the Horned Frog side, you heard us a while ago and got the better of that number. San Jose State against USC. You know, somebody tweeted at me and said, boy, they liked our college football breakdown. But if they were looking for a sleeper, they'd be looking at USC. Jensen, there seems to be a lot of faith in the Trojans this year. Where are you? I mean, I don't know if I'm ready to lay 39, but bigger picture, I think USC might be one of those teams that could be a sleeper.
Well, if you do want to lay it, I could get there because of what Jaden Maiava showed you towards the end of last year. And now with what Lincoln Riley's seat, I would imagine that the temperature is rising there if it's not already at a decently warm feel or temperature. You look at San Jose State, basically no defensive starters that return. This is a clear talent mismatch at the LA Coliseum. You would believe that early in seasons where Lincoln Riley has been able to cover and go over at high rates as big favorites, especially as 30-plus point favorites, and against a group of 5 team here that you should be able to handle. USC 6-0 all time against San Jose State. And especially with these large spreads, I don't think I would shy away from it. If you can find a 38.5, I'd feel a little bit better just because we all know that, some of those hooks can come in, especially early on. Is there a backdoor risk here? Could be. Talent gap feels too large, though, Dave. And in a year where you got to believe Lincoln Riley knows they have to get off to a fast start, especially offensively, I would trust Jaden Maiava in this offense, especially the Trojan skill players. I think they can cover the big spread.
In the ACC, and you know that there's one team in the Commonwealth I'm really excited about this year, the one in Charlottesville. There are people out there that really like this football team this year. Maybe a big surprise last year, the 5.5-point favorites opening up conference play, rather, against Don't Turn Your Back in the Wolfpack here. Where are you in the Cavaliers this year? Do you like them as kind of that underbelly of the ACC? Maybe not getting a whole lot of talk here because SMU, Louisville, we talked about Clemson. Feels like Virginia might be flying below the radar.
I remember this game was supposed to be in Brazil, but now a true home game here at Scott Stadium there for Wahoo Wah for the Virginia Cavaliers. Okay, so you get some guys that had transferred out via the portal for the Wolfpack, and that's going to leave quarterback C.J. Bailey without a couple of key pieces there. Still one of the great names, Hollywood Smothers, who is now a member of the Texas Longhorns, will not be in the Wolfpack backfield anymore. Offenses may not be hitting on all cylinders early here, Dave, on a Friday afternoon there in Charlottesville. Under looks a little more appealing to me than maybe wanting to lay the 5.5 with Virginia. I do feel that they're actually in a better spot with the home advantage there, but I think the under would be better. I think it's a physical game, a little bit lower scoring, and it's an ACC opener. So again, you're going to have some teams drilling down on some of the details here. I lean under 53.5, 54.5, depending on your best number. That's where I would go in this matchup.
You know, it was a lot of fun last year with Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray going out to the Big Island there and catching some Hawaii football. I believe they're going to be going back out there to Stanford here for the tree and getting Hawaii to come here stateside here. We'll be back out there. It'll be exciting for the network again. What do you make of Hawaii this year? And right now, Stanford, maybe a little revenge on the brain here, given some points here in week one. Or week zero.
It's a perfect time to plug our boys on VSiN Primetime. There are no bigger veterans or experts on Hawaii than Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray, good friends of the program. Timmy Chang going to go out there with a spread and shred offense. Let's see what they can do against Stanford here. The smart kids figure it out. Then maybe they can they find a way to put this through. I don't know if I would go on a spread here. This might be a stay away and just enjoy and see what we can find here. I defer, as I said, to our Hawaii experts,
crew.
Matt Eumanns and Tim Murray on VSiN Primetime.
You know, we don't play favorites here. We're just going to, we're going to try to find the best number that you can play. But Timmy Chang did say last year, Jensen, that he felt like those guys were good luck charms. I actually heard that phrase uttered by the Hawaii head coach. If Hawaii wins outright again, does that mean Tim and Matt have to follow the pro? Like, is this going to continue to grow if they are the good luck charm? Kind of like, what was it, Peter Brady back in the Brady Bunch where he had the necklace? Like, I don't know what's happening here, but there seems to be some symmetry here with Timmy and Matt and our Tim.
I would just say, fellas, my shirt size is an XL. Whatever garb or swag you can get, those great Tommy Bahama polos are great this time of year. So any of the Hawaii swag they could bring back for us, much appreciated.
We'll talk a lot about that game leading up to it. Very exciting having those guys go back out there for year number two. Very quickly, I know JVT really does a great job. By the way, College Football Betting Guide is out, breaking down the Mountain West. When you look at UNLV this year, they're going to open up against Memphis. And I know, JVT, he knows this team pretty darn well. Would you be really willing to lay the 6.5 year with what I think people are pretty excited about Rebels football this year?
Yeah, Dan Mullen, let's go, baby. Memphis with a pretty heavy roster turnover. I would expect both sides to score here, but yeah, I would lean UNLV laying the points.
Yeah, kind of like that total. Yeah, as you mentioned, 57.5 here. I do think we're going to get some points in week zero. Okay, you're going to catch up with the King of Connecticut. I know he's got some baseball plays already that he has in pocket and maybe some longer shots down the road. That's next right here. VSiN by the books.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
Week zero of college football is almost upon us, and with the NFL regular season right behind, now it's time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. If you join VSiN Pro today, you're going to get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the beginning. You're also going to get daily best bets from all the hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99. Or save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you on this Monday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. Always look forward to our conversations with the King of Connecticut, Will Hill. And he's also the host of the Should Have Bet More podcast, joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Will, good morning to you, sir. We're going to get to some football talk here in just a little bit. But baseball Jensen and I were talking about, you wake up today, if you're in Charm City, you're in the playoffs today. When did that happen? What was your big surprise takeaway over the weekend here in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, it's early in the morning here still for me, Dave. So when you say Charm City and I have to like break it down, I was like, which one is that again? But I know what you mean. And it is a team that we've been waiting for. I think Jensen was on them too. I forget where you stood on the Orioles, but just kept waiting. It's like when you're trying to start your car and it's making that sound, it's going to start. It doesn't. Maybe the car has finally started. And look, we can talk about these extra wild cards. I thought it was perfect 4 or 5 years ago when you had only the two wild cards and they would play to the death in the one game playoff. And then it would basically be four playoff teams and you have five and you go down to four. These extra teams, it's just kind of watering it down. You get all these teams 4 or 5 games under 500 and they're squarely in the mix. That being said, you know, from a betting standpoint, the Orioles plus 500 to make the playoffs, I think that are plus 500 to be the sixth seed at FanDuel, and they're only plus 300 to make the playoffs. If they get in, they're going to be the sixth seed. They're probably not catching Boston or the Yankees. So I think that's a good bet. I think they got more talent than these other teams. Look, you can throw a blanket over all of them. You can probably, you know, make your case for all of them. They've all got their strengths. They've all got their warts, obviously, when you look at the records. But I think Baltimore at plus 500 to be that sixth seed is a good bet. I think it's finally starting to click. And you look at the schedule coming up. They seem to have put Tampa in a slump. They get Tampa four times over the next week or so. They get the Yankees before they get their guys back. And then they get six games against the A's and the Rockies. So maybe Baltimore can run off another, you know, 7, 8 out of 10 here and be in really good shape here to get that final spot. Now, again, if you're picking them to be the sixth seed, you don't want it to play too well. So maybe you do put a little on that 3-1 to make the playoffs now that, you know, kind of talk it through. But I think Baltimore is very live. That's who I would favor here to get that final spot.
Yeah, brother, I had picked them to win the East at the beginning of the year. They just had no continuity whatsoever in the first half of the season. But you're right. You look at their 6-3 against Tampa, chance to complete a 4-game sweep at Tropicana Field, where Tampa has owned everybody, including the American League East opponents. But Baltimore has been that kryptonite. Speaking of kryptonite, the Dodgers are in harm's way now. I think we can effectively say that the bloom is off the rose for this offense, period. Now, the pitching might end up getting healthy and be right, as we saw just last year. But, Will, I told Dave, and I'm intrigued your thoughts about it. I have problems with this offense. I have issues with their continuity series in and series out. What say you on Dodger Blue, the way that they're going right now?
Doesn't look good. And on one hand, it feels like they do this every year, and it's interesting. You come into these situations sometimes from a, you know, just sports betting, sports analyst standpoint. If you pick somebody else to win the World Series or come out of the National League and it's the Dodgers, you're going to feel like an idiot. But if you pick the Dodgers and somebody else win, you're going to feel like an idiot too, because you can say, man, all the signs were there. All the signs are here. The bullpen's a mess. Diaz, for all that's gone wrong with the Mets, that was looks like a good move getting out of the Diaz business, giving them all those years and all that money. And the lineup just looks old. Betts looks old. Tucker, what a disaster that is. That's another guy that, you know, the Mets, Yankees, these other teams were reportedly interested in. That is a major bullet dodge, because he's just been a disaster. I think from a betting standpoint, you can pick, again, what seed these teams will be. Dodgers are plus 460 at FanDuel to be the 3 seed. I think that's a good bet, because they're behind Milwaukee. They're behind Atlanta. They're not going to get caught by Arizona or anybody in the West. So you're basically, it's a 3-team race for who's going to get that third spot. And right now they're behind. Now, if you want to say, hey, they play Colorado this week, maybe they get healthy, they beat up on Colorado, and you wait, I can understand that. But I just think that price is too long. I think that, you know, they're being attached to what we thought of them before the season as this dominant, you know, 102, 103 win team, whatever their over-under was. And I actually think an under for adjusted season win total around 98, 99 and a half is probably a good bet too. I just think it's these issues are very real with the pen, with the lineup, and that 460 to be the 3 is a nice number, and I think it's inflated based on the reputation here of the Dodgers.
At this rate, Will, they might give David Stearns an extension now they got a super closer in Kodai Senga. Who knew? Let's get to some plays that you have here already in pocket for today's action. Reds and Cards. You think maybe get some challenge to score runs here at least early?
Yeah, we doubleheader. So, and I love these. I love when you get like a Monday afternoon random game, a little something to watch, something to bet during the day. We don't get enough of these anymore in baseball, a little matinee special. But this is game one of the doubleheader that I like. I like the under. I like the first five under. It's Matthews against TBD. Matthews going for the Cardinals. One career start. I watched him a couple weeks ago against the Blue Jays in that start. He was pretty impressive. Lefty, can get up to 97, 98, which pretty much everyone can these days. But the minor league stats are impressive. 340 career innings, 440 strikeouts, well over a strikeout an inning. And both these teams, you know, kind of middle of the pack or worse in terms of offense. Cardinals 18th, I think, runs per game. Cincy all the way down in the bottom third. So that five, I'll go under in the first five here. I want to stay away from the bullpens. I don't really trust either bullpen, but hopefully Baez can stay away from me. What a night that kid had. Imagine being that kid Saturday night, hitting three homers and just going out to dinner and just having, you know, all the messages. That's just an incredible, incredible moment. Reminded me a little bit, Dave. I think you're old enough to remember. Tuffy Rhodes hit three homers off Doc Gooden on opening day back in like 94 and then just never heard from again. Maybe Baez has a better career than that, but I'm going first five under here. I think this could be a low scoring start to game one.
Yeah, love it. Great friend of the program, J.P. Arencibia. We tangled during our Tennessee and Vanderbilt days. Dave remembers J.P. very well through his tenure. Go back and look at his debut with the Blue Jays, mm-hmm. and look at how many RBI he had and total bases in his first soiree there in the big leagues. That was a fun debut to watch. Mention the we talked to Baltimore, Tampa Bay. Shane McClanahan is going to be here today for this series finale. And it's still wild to wrap our heads around here, Will. When you come off a 9-0 road trip, you look how dominant Tampa was. That's almost a time where you're like, hey, I don't want to, you know, take any time off. I want to keep going. The off day might have tripped them up a little bit. As you look at the series finale tonight, Brandon Young has been absolutely outstanding. And Baltimore has been really great straight up in his starts. Any lean for you with this starting pitching matchup or maybe the full game as well?
Going under 2.5 in the first three. It's still reasonably priced here, -130. I just, with a total of 7.5, they're expecting a low scoring game. You know what? I like it at these early. And yesterday was a perfect example between these two teams where what was it 10-2, 10-3 final, plenty of runs, goes way over. It's scoreless after three innings. A lot of times, and sometimes it's gonna burn you and go the other way. But so many times, and you guys know this from betting baseball and watching it, when you bet an under or a first five under, it's that fourth, fifth inning, the second, third time through the lineup, or the bullpens get you. That first time through the lineup, the pitchers are fresh. The hitters haven't seen the pitchers before. So get in, get out, under 2.5, first three, and give me 1-1 after three. We cash this, and then, you know what, score 100 runs. We don't care about the rest of the game, but I'll go first three under here.
I love the J.P. Arencibia mentioned. I got to work with him in Chicago. And, Jensen, we count him as a Mets legend these days, despite what he did for Toronto in that great opening day. And, of course, I knew, Will, you'd bring up Tuffy Rhodes against a former Yankee great in Doc Gooden. I knew you'd do that. Yes. Very quickly, preseason takeaways that you've had in week one. Anything that's caught your eye that actually makes you maybe avoid a team when we get somewhere or maybe a play on?
I'm worried about our Dirty Birds, Dave. This is not gone. It didn't look good the other night for Tua. Jalon Walker's hurt. Pierce is suspended, and rightfully so. He deserves to be suspended. He's lucky he only got 8 games. I mean, he's lucky he's playing in the NFL. But that's one where, I mean, he made the bet. He gave it out. There's no way to really get off it. And maybe you're overreacting to have concern. But that is one where I wouldn't endorse it anymore. If it's in the account, it's in the account, but that's one I have a little concern about. Again, it's only week one of the preseason, but worried about that. How about Green Bay's kicker the other night, Trace Mack? They lost a playoff game in Chicago last year because they missed 3 kicks, 2 field goals and an extra point, and they lost by 4. Smack the other day was making field goals 58-60. He was unbelievable. So it's funny, these kickers, we don't talk about them, they don't matter. They don't matter until they do. So maybe Green Bay found a kicker. And I thought Mendoza was pretty good. I think Mendoza has a high floor. I just think, you know what, good character. He's keeping his nose clean in Vegas. He's got the physical tools. I'd be surprised. I don't know if he's going to be a star, but I'd be surprised if Mendoza's a bust. So those are a few takeaways. And just it was good to have it back. After a week or two, you're ready for the real thing. So I'm getting to the point where I'm ready for the real thing, but it was certainly nice to have it back this weekend.
Right there with you. Agree on all points. And I tell you, that Mendoza story about avoiding the pitfalls of Vegas. Good luck, young fella. But so far, so good. That's what it sounds like so far. Check out the Should Have Been More podcast. It is spectacular. Well, we appreciate your time each and every Monday morning. Our best bets are straight ahead right here on VSiN by the Books. We'll be right back.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Monday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books pod. Listen to that great conversation we just had with Will Hill in the last segment. Jensen, we always tell people, please reach out to us. We appreciate all the emails that we do get. By the Books at VSiN.com. All we ask is tell us where you're coming, where you're writing to us from, where you're watching the show, how you get us, and what is on your mind. So again, reach out, buy the books at VSiN.com. We'll try to read some of those entries as the week goes. But we do have breaking news here into the program. We talked about it. It's going to be happening this Thursday. It's our second now annual Pro Football Futures Draft. We had a lot of fun doing this last year. And again, you and I believe we finished 4-5 in the pecking order, so pretty good showing for VSiN by the Books in the black last year, ROI, if you tailed our picks. So pretty solid. Look, Patrick Maher, he is the reigning defending champion this year, Jensen. Now, Steve Cohen has told us for this draft selection, everything was on the up and up with he and his dog. But with this, it might be debatable. Because, Jensen, who gets the number one pick in Thursday's? It's Patrick Maher. How about that? So to the victor go the spoils. It'd be Patrick on the board first and Stormy Bonantoni 1-2 to kick off the draft order on Thursday.
All right. So I drew the number 5 spot behind Gil Alexander and then right ahead of John Hansen. You are number 9, right behind Keyshawn Johnson. Just throw me the damn ball. And Matt Youmans right behind you. I'm actually pretty excited about where I'm at. If you were with us last year, the big run early was on division winners, Dave, because there can be only 8 right answers there, as we know. So it ends up being one of those finite things as you get into rounds 2. And because we'll have 13 of the entrants here, I wonder if pretty much at least 8 division winning selections go in the first 13 picks. What I'm fascinated by is, remember, last year you kind of shocked the world and picked a stat leader. You picked Dak Prescott to lead the league in passing yards with your first overall selection. I thought a few of our contestants were going to faint listening to you go with that in your first pick. You were highly convicted, but that was an interesting pick. Patrick Maher might have a difficult select. I'm just looking at my big board, which I've already constructed for what I'm looking for. The tweak this year, Dave, is very good. You have to make one selection in each of the 5 categories: win total overs, win total unders, division winner, a player prop, a season-long player prop, and a season-long stat leader. Now, you can't make 2 selections in the same category in the first 5 selections, so you do have to have a little bit of strategy as to when those are going to come off the board for you. So I can tell you right now, my number 1 overall selection, I feel very good about being there at number 5. Somehow, if it's not, I do like my number 2 overall big board selection. My 2 player props, I don't think anyone is going to see coming, which I feel really good about. Oh. The stat leader, I'm a little indifferent on. That's kind of where I've got to shore a couple of things up with where I'm at. But very, very good draft draw for yours truly at number 5. I feel very good about that heading to Thursday night.
I'm going to be at number 9, and again, finishing 4th last year, but in the black, and had a chance to take it down if Dak Prescott played in that final week, the entirety of that game, Jensen. That might have been, and that's why I took that shot. It's kind of like Gil Alexander says with Survivor. I'm not trying to survive. I was trying to win. I was going for that win, and boy, we got oh so close to taking this down in year number 1. And you mentioned where you're going to be drafting some of these things. One of my big surprise picks that people were very surprised with last year, I took Seattle to win the division last year in the West, and I got that pick relatively late in our draft last year, and that was another reason why. They were a big play for me, as you know, for the overwin total, had that as well, and had Seattle to win that division, correlated play, and both of those got home for me last year, and that's exactly the way I look. Teams that I'm going to be excited about that I think I might be able to get some really positive ROI on, Seattle was that team last year. Might have to rethink some things here as to who that team might be and kind of that sleeper that other people in our draft are not looking at, because that's where I'm going to try to find that advantage again, like I did last year, a little bit later on in this draft. By the way, sandwiched between Matt Eumanns and Keyshawn Johnson, I got my work cut out for me this year, that's for sure. Can't wait to see what Key has got. And Nick Bakay, by the way, newcomer this year, very talented, very funny man. He's going to be number 12. Tim Murray does have the last pick in the draft here at 13. And John Hansen, as you mentioned, he'll be drafting right after you. And then JVT after the guru here. So very interesting. Again, it's Maher 1, Stormy 2, Paulie 3, Gillis 4, you are 5. We're going to have John at 6, JVT 7, Key at 8, I'm at 9, Matt Eumanns at 10, Mitch Moss at 11, Nick Bakay 12, Tim Murray 13. I do believe there are odds put up last year. I can't wait to see if we get some odds before we get to Thursday. And again, that futures draft will be right here live on the network Thursday, August 20th, 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on VSiN. So, Jensen, you and I are competitive people. Obviously, we want to do as well, as good as a show. And we did very well as a tandem last year. But we're in it to win it this year, my friend. You're at 5, I'm at 9. Let the games begin.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if there are various markets maybe in a faraway land about which show finishes the highest or accumulates the most points. I get it. I do realize we have, you know, members of shows that have two people versus one here on the network. No problem. But I would have to imagine, do we still know what the winner got last year? I believe Bill AD said there would be a prize. Was it dinner at Barry's? Was that the prize last year?
Yeah, I believe that was the prize. And I'm sure, you know, Patrick's not going to let Bill forget about that. I would believe if that dinner hasn't already happened, it's going to happen at some point. So congratulations to Patrick, the reigning defending, and he gets the number one pick. And I wonder what Stormy's going to do it too. That's going to be very interesting. So compelling TV. Check it out, 5 p.m. right here in the network, East Coast time, live on VSiN. Jensen plays in pocket. You've already got some in Major League Baseball for VSiN Pro subscribers. What do you already have out there in the docket today?
A big series on the north side. The first place Chicago White Sox, fresh off a sweep of the Detroit Tigers. They come in against a beaten up Chicago Cubs team that just got it handed to them by the St. Louis Cardinals over the weekend. I do like the under 8.5 for a 2.5 unit play. This, again, a matchup of Luis Castillo against Shota Imanaga. Now, I get it. Imanaga coming off a start in which he gave up 3 homers. That was on the road against the Washington Nationals. But his last 3 starts at Wrigley Field have been exceptional. So I think we get a low-scoring game. And you better believe it is going to be a north versus south side. Cannot wait to see the Windy City battle. But the under 8.5 for a 2.5 unit play, one of the official plays tonight. Also going to play an under in the Mile High City. Dodgers and Rockies, very concerned still about the LA production. So we will not only lean into that, but we get Blake Snell on the mound against the Rockies. They did put up 13 runs yesterday against the Giants, but much tougher customer. Under 11.5, minus $1.42 for 2.5 units. Those are the two big plays already in pocket.
Oh, boy, Jensen, sadly, breaking news, and we've got it. We got to break it for you right now. Breece Hall, and this is right now. Jared Moore doing a great job, by the way, filling in for Joe Friso today, getting us this information. It looks like he has gone down untouched while running after a catch. This is off the presses, Jensen. So, again, you really get concerned sometimes on those when you're not even touched and you go down on your own accord. We've seen how devastating those injuries can be. Again, we're not going to speculate. Jensen, you got more on this?
Yeah, it sounds like a groin injury. Left practice with trainers on Monday. That's being reported. Again, what I tell you, these skill position guys, calves, hammies, groins. Those are the big three that you just do not want to see happen. You're hoping that it's a tweak. You're hoping it's not a strain, a grade 1 or grade 2. Oh, man, a huge loss if you are looking at some of those grade 1, grade 2 strains for the groin. That is a massive blow here to the Jets, depending on what the severity of that injury is.
Now, again, we talked about this last week with some of our in-pocket plays for week 1, and one of those I had Tennessee minus 2.5. I do not know if the books have already reacted to this. It's up to 3. So, again, we talk about those numbers here when you get to week 1. Tennessee is now a 3-point favorite over the Jets. I do not know if it's in correlation with this injury news just breaking now of Breece Hall. But I tell you, Jensen, they are quick on the spot here. It's hard to get anything by anybody here in our industry. Information is key. We'll find out. No idea what this means for Breece long term. For a team that summoned the network, we're looking at as a possible overplay here. You hope Breece Hall is going to be okay. We're never rooting, obviously, for injuries, no matter what tickets you might have out there. But that could prove to be rather significant here for the Jets if they're without their bell cow at running back for any length of time. Jets are great stuff. If you want more VEASAN, of course you do. VEASAN.com, the VEASAN Watch app. We got a numbers game. Gil Alexander and Matt Brown in today. It's VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.